Bible says, 2 Peter chapter 2, but there were also false prophets. Say false prophets, would you? There were false prophets among the people, just as there will be false teachers denying the sovereign Lord who bought them, bringing swift destruction on themselves. Many will follow their shameful ways and will bring the way of truth into disrepute. In their greed, these teachers will exploit you with stories they have made up. Their condemnation has long been hanging over them, and their destruction has not been sleeping. For if God did not spare angels when they sinned, but sent them to hell, putting them into gloomy dungeons to be held for judgment, if he did not spare the ancient world when he brought the flood on its ungodly people, but protected Noah, a preacher of righteousness, and seven others, if he condemned the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah by burning them to ashes and made them an example of what is going to happen to the ungodly, and if he rescued Lot, a righteous man who was distressed by the filthy lives of lawless men, for that righteous man living among them day after day was tormented in his righteous soul by the lawless deeds he saw and heard. If this is so, and I'll tell you, it's so, then the Lord knows how to rescue. That's good news. Amen? The Lord knows how to rescue godly men. I'm going to say the Lord knows how to rescue godly women. Can I get a witness on that? Our Lord is a rescuer, and he rescues us from trials and holds the unrighteous for the day of judgment while continuing their punishment. This is especially true of those who follow the corrupt desires of the sinful nature and despise authority. Lord, we come before you this morning, the beginning of a new year, troubling time, challenging times. Lord, we pray for guidance. We pray for wisdom. We pray for power to move through challenges, that we might step into victory and sidestep failure and give you glory all the days of our lives. Amen? Amen. Well, last week, we started our service talking about the lottery. I'm going to pick up on that because we had some Powerball winners this week. $1.6 billion, something like that. Pretty close. Amen? Am I close? And I wanted to tell you about a group of folks that won $949 million. In the Powerball last week. And they worked at this restaurant. They all pooled their money and they bought like 200 tickets. And they were going through all the tickets and there was victory in that restaurant. And they were celebrating. And the manager said, I am out of here. Because I'll tell you what, you win $1 billion and your life would probably change. Can I get a witness on that? And so they were celebrating, and did you see the workers won $949 million Powerball for 20 minutes? Because as they were going through their celebration and they were rechecking the numbers were indeed right, but they were for a different day. Because they had the Saturday numbers. And they were looking at the Wednesday posting and celebrating. So, in the midst of their victory, they found failure. 20 minutes. Everybody doesn't win, folks. Right? You know what I'm talking about? Paul says, run in such a way as to get the prize. And Peter echoes this sentiment. He says, man, you're shooting for what happens at the end. 2 Peter chapter, back in chapter 1, talked about this 2 weeks ago. Make every effort That means work hard. Amen? Make every effort to confirm your calling and election, for if you do these things, you will never stumble and you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom. That's what we're shooting for. Amen? And he says, if you do these things, say, what things? Well, remind you what we talked about a couple of weeks ago. These things that you add to your life and keep on adding: love, kindness, godliness, perseverance, self-control, knowledge, and goodness, poured on top in increasing measure into the faith that God gives to you to start the whole thing rolling. Amen? Amen. These are indeed the characteristics and the qualities that will lead you into victory in your life. Peter lets us know everybody does not win. Yesterday, the Chiefs did not win. It did bring some consternation to my home. But at the end, there was no doubt. Why? Because it's on the scoreboard. When it gets to the end, there are the opportunities to have victory, and there is the opportunity to have failure. And the Patriots were indeed victorious, and the Kansas City Chiefs were not able to get that victory, and failure found them. Amen? What Peter is saying is that there is a judgment. We read about that today. There is a judgment. And see, there's nobody thinks everybody's going to win the Powerball. I'm not going to ask you who played Powerball. When it got up to 1.5 million, I'm thinking, man, should I get a ticket? I did not get a ticket. I didn't. Did I just go? You know, hey, you know. But no, I didn't. But the chances were like 1 in 500 million to win. Nobody expects everybody to win in Powerball. Are you tracking with me? But there's a lot of people who think everybody wins in heaven. Everybody's going to heaven. Oh, there's many roads going to heaven. Everybody wins when it comes to heaven because God is so merciful. And Peter says, oh, no, you can find failure. Or failure can find you. Because in the end, there's judgment. In the end, there's a score. In the end, you can have chosen victory, or failure will find you. And that's what we're going to be talking about today. The title of the message today is Finding Failure. Amen? Yeah. All right, let's go. Here we go. For if God did not spare angels, we've got three examples of judgment here. If God did not spare angels when they sinned, but sent them to hell. I mean, that is a choice that God made. I mean, it's not like they just happened to go. No, God sent them to hell, putting them into nice, fashionable little places where they can kick. No, he put them into gloomy dungeons to be held for judgment. And if he did not spare the entire ancient world when he brought the flood on its ungodly people, but protected Noah, a preacher of righteousness, and seven others. And if he condemned the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah by burning them to ashes and made them an example of what is going to happen to the ungodly. Put a little pause there. We'll get to where he's going. But we have three examples, and God has a history of judgment. Amen. And so Peter's saying, man, don't be surprised. And look, he starts off and he says that he judged the angels. He says, oh, the angels, so nice. Well, Jesus talked about it. He says, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. There is judgment, Peter says. And it happens even on the angels. And one thing that he brings up for the angels that is unique in all the other examples he does is that they are held in a position of punishment waiting for judgment. So there is a bad place where they are waiting for an even worse thing to occur. It's kind of like a double loss, like a double fail. Amen? And so he starts off telling us that God indeed did judge the angels. And then, if you're familiar with the flood, that God did indeed judge all mankind in Noah's time. And I have a scripture there for you. Genesis chapter 6, verse 5. The Lord saw how great the wickedness. Everybody know what wickedness is? That's like bad stuff. That's like the stuff that pops up on the internet when you don't have a filter. Can I get a minute? I mean, I'll tell you what. Wickedness is only a click or two away. Can I get a witness on that? And the Lord looked down from heaven and saw how great the wickedness of men had become. And he was distressed by, let me find this. And that every inclination of the thoughts, man, this is bad. That every inclination of the human heart, the thoughts of the human heart, was only evil all the time. God flooded the entire earth, judged all mankind. And Peter's saying, there's a pattern here, folks. And he said, it continues on. Because we move from Noah's time and we move up to Abraham's time and the sin of Sodom and Gomorrah. I'll read that to you. Genesis 19, 13. Angels come and speak to Abraham and say, we are going to destroy this place. The outcry to the Lord against it is against its people is so great that he has sent us to destroy it. Prayers going up. Lord, you got to do something. Outcry is great. What was the sin? Sodom and Gomorrah, Jude 7. Sodom and Gomorrah and the surrounding towns gave themselves up. I give up. Gave themselves up to sexual immorality and perversion. No holding back. The sin of Noah's time, it also tied into lust and the desire for the daughters of men. And so we see in this a sexual perversion that causes the Lord to move. And that sexual perversion is the height of selfishness. That I will use you or I will use someone to gratify myself. I don't know how much more selfish you can be than that. Hear about sexual slavery and sex slaves being trafficked all over the world. All about me. All about what I want. Failure will find you. Sexual immorality will trip you up. Amen? Let's continue on. It says, and made them an example. This is the previous verse reading into it. And made them an example of what is going to happen to the ungodly, starting now at verse 7. And if he rescued Lot, a righteous man who was distressed by the filthy lives of lawless men, for that righteous man living among them day after day was tormented in his righteous soul by the lawless deeds he saw and heard. If this is so, then the Lord knows how to rescue godly men from trial. And to hold the unrighteous for the day of judgment while continuing in their punishment. And so there is the promise of judgment, but there is the opportunity of rescue. Amen? Amen. How many of you are glad that there's the opportunity for rescue? Amen? I think the Chiefs were going, oh, I wish we could have a rescue from Tom Brady. I don't know who's going to need rescue today. You know what? I heard Elijah was praying for a rescue for the Cardinals, and it came. You guys can watch a tape on that, or ask Elijah. He'll talk about that. But it's a blessing to see him wearing his jersey this morning. You know, there's a rescue for Elijah. Actually, there was a rescue for Lot, who was described as a righteous man. There was a rescue, incredible rescue, for Noah, who was described as a preacher of righteousness. Now, Lot and his daughters were the only ones who were saved. There was opportunity for the daughters' husbands, they were betrothed at the time, it's like, what do you call it, fiancés. Lot went to him and said, Lord's going to destroy the city. He said, yeah, right. Give me a break. The Lord's not going to destroy this city. And so they didn't come. And they stayed in Sodom. And they were destroyed. Lot's wife, the angel said, don't look back. You know, when you are indeed leaving a life of sin, you need to not look back. Can I get a witness? See, you got to choose victory, or that failure will just kind of reach up and grab you by the ankles. Victory, you got to choose, but failure will just kind of find you. Amen? And so Lot's wife, you know, everything's happening back there, and she looks back, and she was turned into a pillar of salt. So the opportunity for rescue was there, but not everybody got it. And you can lose your rescue. You can find failure. He says it's a challenge being surrounded by sin. Trials. Peter talks of trials. 1 Peter. Peter, their second Peter. Now, for a little while, you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. Anybody got any trials going on out there? Have a tough week? Amen. He says that these trials come. C.S. Lewis calls this planet the veil of soul making. That it's a tough spot, and all the trials and all the challenges cause you to put a focus on God. Amen. And so these trials, Peter says, he says, for a little while you've had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that your faith may be proved genuine and result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Amen. Bible also says, Paul talking about it, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, God will not let you be tested beyond what you can bear. But he wants you to become mature. He wants you to become strong. He wants you to be able to stand tall and choose victory. He is a shining beacon in the midst of challenge. And you grab onto him, failure will not find you. But you will step into the victorious life. Amen? Amen? It just takes a momentary lapse. And failure just come and snatch you. Amen? Amen. I have to tell you about this. I was down in Chula Vista yesterday. My wife goes, what's that? Down in Chula Vista, I left my phone with my wonderful wife. Because her phone was dead. Oh, actually, I left it on the charger because I gave him my battery. It was a complicated thing. I was out. I did not have my phone, did not have my directions. I needed to get some directions. I saw a payphone. The payphone was busted. I was there for a moment. I ran inside this taco shop, asked for directions, and I came out. As I was going in, I saw a parking meter. It happened to be located right in front of my vehicle. And it was at that moment red. And I thought, you know, it's Saturday. And they don't check these things on Saturday. And I said, I'm only going to be in for a minute, even if they do check it. I'll be long gone. And I came out and I found this little thing right here. Right underneath my windshield wiper. And I looked at it. And it said 6250. And I went, I literally. Because the dude in the little truck was just on the other side of the road. It was a small road. I felt better. So I look over on this side. It actually says $37.50. If you pay it late, it's $62.50. So it actually made me feel better. But literally 2 minutes inside that restaurant using the phone to call my wife to get some information. And failure found me. Don't let failure find you. You got to choose victory, move into it. Because at the end, there will be no doubt. Amen?
Amen.
I want to let you know I already paid that because I don't want to hit the $62.50 part. Yes. Pay them quick, folks. Man, I know. Okay, we're just going to move right on. Move right on. That's a double fail if you don't pay. All right, here we go. Caught up in correction.
I'm sorry.
Caught up in corruption. Oh my. Your desires will determine your direction. Where's your focus last week? Where's your focus next week? Where's your focus going to be in 2016? You're going to be focused on victory, or you're just going to be trying to escape failure? Because it can happen. He says, this is especially true of those who follow the corrupt desires of the sinful nature. We're talking about what? God holding people for punishment. God holding people for judgment. He says, this is especially true. This attention of God is especially true of those who follow the corrupt desire. Have you been there before? Oh, I've been there before. I lived a lot of years of my life following the corrupt desires of the sinful nature and despising authority. Bold and arrogant, these men are not afraid to slander celestial beings, yet even angels, although they are stronger and more powerful, do not bring slanderous accusations against such beings in the presence of the Lord. But these men blaspheme in matters they do not understand. They are like brute beasts, creatures of instinct, born to be caught and destroyed like beasts. They too will perish. There are many that are lined up on failure, and they are headed towards a trap. And it will just take a momentary flick of that latch to cause that trap to just get you. Great damage in your life. Peter says that God has given us a way out through his glory and goodness. Question is whether or not you will take it. God's glory and goodness gives us a way to control our sinful desires. It's kind of like working out. You got to get good at it. You got to get strong. The corruption of the world leads to boldness and arrogance in sin. Have you seen it? There's a graphic display of boldness and arrogance. I have blotted out the most heinous parts. It says, you get off on this track. All right, just leave that behind. But you know what? It's the boldness and arrogance of people who just flash out their sin. Have you seen it? Have you done it before? I've done it before. Not that, but, you know, I have been bold in my sin. I'll tell you what. I'm sure Pastor Scott was watching all the ads and everything involved in the Patriot victory yesterday. But what happens when somebody is in the stands, and the camera goes on, what's the first thing they do? Hold up their beer. Look at this $28 beer I bought. I don't know how much they cost. But that's what they do. Hey, look at me. They flaunt their sin. And that picture that I had up there, people flaunting their sin. I have pride in my sin. And the Lord says, Peter says, that these men who despise authority and who have lost their way into the corrupt ways of this world slander celestial beings. They don't even know what they're talking about. They are in way over their head. And they don't give a pause to think. They step into spiritual matters they don't understand. They lie on God. Let me tell you about God. They make up stories about God. They make up stories about what God is like, and they make up stories about what God likes. This is what God likes. And you know what? God tells you what he likes right here.
Amen.
You grab onto this. This is not in my notes, but I was working on the Volvo the other day and button it all up. It works good. I told you about, I'll tell you about the victory there some other time. But the Jehovah's Witnesses came up. And I was buttoning it up. And they talked to my wife. My wife, were you nice to them? I said, I was, of course, it's me. I am a basis of niceness. And I said, okay, ladies, yeah, how you doing? And they came up with their Watchtower Bible and Tract Society publication. And I said, yeah, okay, that's good, that's good. And I mean, I'm covered with grease, you know. I was like, really, ladies, really? See what's going on here. Yeah, we just want to talk to you. I kid you not. I kid you not. I kid you. We want to talk to you about honesty. I'm like, really? Yeah, how different of a world do you think it would be if everybody was honest? I said, oh, man, way different. And I said, but I'll tell you what, I don't think the Watchtower Bible and Tract Society is being honest at all. What? Just right there, you know? And it said, this. Bible says that Jesus died on the cross, but the Watchtower Bible and Tract Society says if you aren't out here passing out these things, he's going to be mad at you. Oh, he won't be mad at us. But, and he started telling me other things. I said, Bible says test everything. Hold on to what is good. So let's test this. And they said, well, it's obvious you don't want that. And I said, oh, no, I'll keep it. Whenever they offer you that, take it. You can start a fire with it. You can do all kinds. You can wash windows with those things. They're perfect for that. But don't leave them. Leave it in their hands because they might have somebody find failure with that. Amen. You get what I'm saying? When they say, you know, I kid you not, they say, can we give you one of these? I say, can I have two? And I'll take two. Give me two. I'll take 10 if they give me 10. Anyway, okay, sorry, that was not in my notes. That's no extra charge right there. All right. But I was indeed nice to them. They did run from the property, but I was indeed, because, you know what? Failure has found these ladies. I said, you know what? I don't believe that you ladies are lying to me. I think that you ladies are being truthful, but I don't think that this is being truthful with you. And I think you are being deceived. So anyway, okay, here we go. Let's just get back on track. Here we go. God's keeping score. He says, he's talking about these guys, these bad guys. He's saying, they'll be paid back with harm for the harm that they... Has anybody ever harmed you? Oh, I've been harmed lots of times. Sometimes these guys go in the church and start taking advantage. I held that little baby today. Ezekiel, right? Ezekiel? Can you think of somebody just wanting to come in and harm that little baby? How old's that baby? Like 2 months? 6 months? Man, he's old. Okay. Okay, let's just get back on track. Here we go. Their idea of pleasure is to carouse in broad daylight. Remember that picture I showed you? I had to get off the screen. My wife's going to yell at me later at that. For that. Carouse in broad daylight. They are blots and blemishes. They are pimples reveling in their pleasures while they feast with you. With eyes full of adultery, they never stop sinning. They seduce the unstable and are experts in greed in a cursed brood. God's paying attention. He says these guys are good at what they're doing. They are cunning in their corruption. They will try and spread it over and pour it onto you. They look and they prey upon the weak. See, that's why you got to choose victory. You got to work for victory. You got to grab onto victory. Hold on tight. Otherwise, failure just kind of fall on you. Jesus leads you out of darkness. Amen. You got to do some walking. Amen. God's keeping score. In the end, there's winners and losers. Just like in the football games yesterday. Revelation 20:12 says, the dead were judged according to what they had done. If your name is not written in the Lamb's Book of Life, there is a book that is being written on you. Roque Camacho. Roque Camacho deserves hell for what he has done in his life to the people around him. But because of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, he has been cleansed. I deserve hell. Aaron deserves hell. Everybody here deserves hell. But, and we would get hell, except our names are in the Lamb's Book of Life. That is victory, folks. And that list of things we had on earlier keeps lined up on victory in your life, makes it more difficult for the devil to come and get you off track. Amen? 2 Peter 2:9, remember, Lord knows how to rescue godly men from trials. He rescued me, rescued Roki, rescued Aaron. Amen? Says they don't even try to hide their sin. They carouse in broad daylight. They are a stain on humanity. Never stop sinning and they'll catch you up in it. All right. Back to Powerball. There were indeed winners today. And one winner was, they're talking about the false teachers, the false prophets, these liars that come and prey upon you. There was a winner, a 62-year-old nurse in Pomona. Her son called her, "Mom, you won!" And she works in a nursing home, and the word just spread amongst the nursing home, and people called the media, and the media was getting involved. And her son lied. It was just a joke. But you can imagine Powerball, I don't know what Powerball and the Patriots. I don't know what's going on here. But there's savagery out there, folks. And for something a whole lot more than the Powerball lottery, we're talking about heaven. We're talking about victory and being welcomed into the kingdom of God. We're talking about failure finding you and you being damned for eternity. Now he says, we'll talk about this in a second, that the darkest place is reserved for these guys. The darkest of the darkness is for them. But I'll tell you what, darkness is bad enough for me. Amen? Amen. I don't want any of that. I want to choose victory behind me. Amen? Here we go. So he says, Peter says, don't take the wrong turn. This is our last point. How are we doing on time? I can't even tell. I could be going long and I won't even know. All right, here we go. The bad guys were good guys. The bad guys were, past tense, good guys. They have left the straight way. You know what that means. They have wandered off to follow the way of Balaam, son of Beor, who loved the wages of wickedness, but he was rebuked for his wrongdoing by a donkey. You can read about it in Numbers 22. A beast without speech, you spoke with a man's voice and restrain the prophet's madness. These men are springs without water, mists driven by the storm. Blackest darkness is reserved for them. They mouth empty, boastful words, and by appealing to the lustful desires of sinful human nature, they entice people who are just escaping from those who live in error. They promise them freedom while they themselves are slaves of depravity. For a man is a slave to whatever has mastered him. Amen. They have left the straight way. They were good guys. They're not good guys anymore. They had come to a knowledge of the way of truth and the way of the Lord. And they turned their back on that. They chose to follow their evil desires and be led back into the corruption of the world. Blackest darkness. I mean, regular darkness is bad enough. Amen? Amen. Blackest darkness is for these guys. There is a special place for these guys. There is a special place for those who come into this setting and prey upon you. God's paying attention. They will not get away with it. And there are those who are so consumed with lust and greed who would line their own pockets and would use people for their own gratification. Lust is causing these men to make the wrong choice. And I'm wondering this week what kind of choices you're making. What is directing you? Because you can choose victory, or failure will find you. These men are mastered by sin. They're saying, hey, we can do all this stuff, but they are indeed wrapped by sin. And they want to ensnare you, use you. That's a pretty graphic picture, isn't it? You don't see it like that. Bonds of sin are often invisible, but it's a tough life. You got to choose victory. Amen? Amen. All right, here we go. You can be worse off than when you start. They are worse off than when they started. If they have escaped the corruption of the world by knowing our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and are again entangled in it, the world, and overcome, they are worse off at the end than they were at the beginning. I'll tell you what, I was bad off when I started this race with the Lord. Amen? Any of you guys in pretty rough shape? I've seen some of you. I know you were in rough shape. I would imagine these guys were in rough shape. And Peter says they're in worse shape now. Why? Because they look like this, man. I started off like that. I don't want to go back there. Can I get a witness on that? All right. He says they were worse off than they were at the beginning. It would have been better. It would have been better for them to never show up to church. It would have been better for them never to put their hand up and say, Lord, come into my life. It would have been better for them never to have experienced the power of the Holy Spirit and the truth of the Bible rather than to turn their back on it and to walk back to the world. Amen. They turned their backs on the sacred command that was passed unto them. Of them, the Proverbs are true. A dog returns to its vomit, and a sow that is washed goes back to her wallowing in the mud. They have turned their backs on God. FYI, that's always the wrong choice. The writer of Hebrews speaks to this. This is a challenge, flat out challenge. Hebrews 6, 4 through 6. You got a Bible? I don't know how to underline electronic Bible, but underline this. Put a little star on it. It is impossible. Say impossible. It is impossible for those who have once been enlightened, who have tasted the heavenly gift, who have shared in the Holy Spirit, who have tasted the goodness of the Word of God and the powers of the coming age, and who have fallen away to be brought back to repentance. See, impossible again? You can circle impossible, folks. See, you can choose victory or failure will find you. You got to work victory. You got to strive. You got to stress. I run in such a way as to get the prize, Paul says. Peter says, keep on track. Keep on adding these things to your life and you'll never fall. To their loss, they are crucifying the Son of God all over again and subjecting him to public disgrace. Lisa said, how much do you love me? And Jesus spread his arms wide and died. And you deny him. You spread him out again. They spit on him. They mocked him. God says, you do that to my son. You can't get back. I have seen it happen. I've seen people come into this church and they begin to view the church and the people in the church as something to be manipulated. I come here for my gain. I come here for me. And there is a scarring that happens in your soul. And I don't know if you got any scar tissue, but scar tissue just doesn't go away. And scar tissue gets hard. And you get scar tissue on your heart, to call it heart disease, and your heart doesn't function right. And you get hardening of your soul, and your soul doesn't function right. And that's what happens when you deny Christ and subject him to public humiliation all over again. That's what happens when you start making stories up about Jesus and what he likes. He says, oh, this is fine. Jesus doesn't care about this. You and I can do this, or you and I can do that. There's a scarring that you can't be healed from. It is a challenging thing when you come into the church for you. Now, it's one thing to come in, at least you can come up and play. It's one thing to come into the church looking for. Or a handsome man. And find a whole lot more than you were bargaining for. Amen? Amen. And the Lord will use, Paul says, I become all things to all men that I might win some to Christ. And there is that element that we would use all means to get you in here and introduce you to Christ. But once you make the right turn, Peter says, don't follow it up with a wrong turn. Once you choose victory, don't turn back again to failure. Amen? And once you see the truth, if you continue to grab on to the lie, that's on you. He says, I'll give you my Holy Spirit. I will shine a beacon of light in the darkness to show you the way to go. And if you're too lazy, or you just think, I don't think I really want it. This takes a minute. Failure will find you. Big ticket to pay on Judgment Day. Jesus paid yours. You got to grab onto that payment. Lord, thank you that you are good and mighty and awesome in this place. Lord, I thank you for 2016, that you are indeed a shining beacon in the midst of darkness. That you show us the way out, that you show us the narrow way, that you give us the tools, Lord. You put us in a body that can support us and train us and guide us and direct us, that your Spirit guides us into truth and convicts us of sin. Lord, that you help us to choose victory, Lord, and keep failure at bay. And as long as we have our hands upon you, we're going to be fine. This morning, I hope and pray that you have your hands firmly on the way of the Lord, that you have your hands wrapped around victory in your life, and that the evil desires, when they come up, the Spirit of God will equip you and empower you to manage those desires. You are not a brute beast, a creature of habit, but you are a master of your situations because of the power of the Lord that is released in you. Can I get a witness on that? Now, there's trials that come. It is uphill. Bible says that the gospel is a stumbling block. And sometimes we stumble and sometimes we brush up our knees. But the trick is to stand again and to press on to win the prize. Amen? Amen. And so perhaps your grip is weak this morning. And perhaps the Lord is speaking to you this morning and said, watch out. Watch out. It's been too long. You're not grabbing on. You're not holding on. Failure is right at your ankles. He's saying, don't fail this morning. Grab on to victory. Grab on to my hand. He reaches a nail-scarred hand down from heaven and says, follow me, child. Grab on, child. We'll move to victory together. No one looking around this morning. But you believe right now that this is just pointed right at you. The Lord is speaking to your heart. You're saying, Lord, 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 I want to be different. I'm going to be different. I'm grabbing on right now. I'm going to grab on tight through 2016. I'm going to get some help from around here. I got some hurts. I'm going to be here on Monday. I need some teaching. I'm going to be here on Wednesday. I need some food. I'm going to get here on Monday and Fridays, Lord. You have got what I need here, Lord. I'm going to follow. I am not going to let go. I'm not going to let failure find me because I'm grabbed onto victory in you. Nobody looking around at you this morning. I just want you to slide your hands up and say, that's me. Right here and here, here. Anybody else say, that's me. Back there, yes. Anybody else say, that's me this morning.